Our text this morning is Romans 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This tremendous paragraph in Romans chapter 5 has to do with right standing before God and the love of God as it is poured out by the Holy Spirit and demonstrated in the work of Jesus Christ. And one of the things that I'm interested in our seeing this morning is the connection between the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and that wonderful subjective experiential side of Christianity that comes to us through the work of the Holy Spirit given to us and the objective work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And the two are intimately connected. It's interesting that they are connected not only in the text as a whole, which I hope we will see this morning, but they are connected in a very profound way, it seems to me, in the text itself. Some of the versions translate Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commends his love toward us, which is a more intimate kind of word, as we will see, I hope. And the text that I read from the New American Standard Version, or the translation I read from the New American Standard Version, is God demonstrates his love towards us, something which is more objective. And they come together in this particular word. And if you follow along in the outline in the bulletin, I hope that that's what will come about as we look at this text together this morning. As we have in our congregation been looking at this paragraph, we have labored the point, as I say in number one in the outline, we labored the point, as Paul does, that Christ died for, on behalf of sinners, not for the righteous. And we particularly labored this point last week when we looked at verse 7 in Romans chapter 5. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare even to die. Coming on the heels of verse 6, of course, for while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. And we have labored the point that it is on behalf of not those who consider themselves righteous or are righteous in themselves that Christ died, but it is on behalf of sinners, ungodly people. This is one of the things that must be understood, especially, it seems to me, in our day. In our pluralistic society, individuals are shouting very loudly that there are many ways to get to God and that any way is acceptable, and that Christianity is very narrow. And one of the problems, of course, with Christianity is that it speaks of individuals in the world as sinners. And that's not very popular today. It may not ring very well in your ears this morning. One of the reasons that we are going through the commandments of God in our worship services is this very reason, that we need to understand that there is, in fact, in the world, an absolute standard of morality, despite what those in our government even will say. It's very interesting to me that on the news shows, when government officials are interviewed, they will almost immediately say, well, everyone does it, as though that were an excuse, and that morality is not required. Of course, that's what parents like to hear from their children, isn't that correct? Well, everyone does it. No, not exactly. It's not what we like to hear from our children. And I submit to you, it's not what we like to hear from our media people, and it's not what we like to hear from our politicians either. I was a little amused when I drove back from Kansas City yesterday afternoon and saw a bumper sticker. You know, they are bumper snickers sometimes. And this one said, "Politicians are like diapers. They should be changed regularly." I have no idea what the political preference of the driver was, and that's immaterial. But the point is that there are absolute moral standards. And when we violate those standards, we are in sin. That is the point. And verse 6 tells us, while we are still helpless at the right time, Christ died for, on behalf of the ungodly. And verse 8 tells us, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the profound fact of the gospel is that Jesus Christ died on that cross to pay the penalty due to people like you and me in payment for sins. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we have labored that point. And it comes home to us, does it not? Or it should come home to us, as I say in the second point in the outline. Christ's death brings us out from under a heavy curse, leading to eternal death. And I'd like you to turn back to Galatians chapter 3, which we read earlier. We're going to go back to Romans 5. I think this helps us with our understanding of Romans 5:8. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Those who do not, as the previous verse in Galatians tells us, those who practice the law will live by the law. And then further up it says, cursed is everyone who does not abide in all things written in the book of the law to perform them. In other words, when you do not keep all the commandments of God, you abide not under blessing, but under a curse. You know, this is terrible talk, isn't it? I mean, it really is. And people in our society today find such language absolutely repugnant. But this is the language of the Bible. As I told our class this morning, that I had received an email note from, I think it's a young lady, in response to one of my devotions on an internet webpage. And she says, I'm amazed at you, Dennis, because it seems that you believe in a vengeful God. I believe in a God of love. And I want to respond to her by attempting at least to explain to her that you really can't fully understand the love of God unless you understand the depth of the sin out of which God has been pleased to bring us. See, in the beginning, what did God say to Adam and Eve? Did you eat of the fruit? And you'll die. Why is there death in the world? It's just kind of the end of things, right? I mean, it has no significant meaning. Outside of that, it's just sort of the end of things. Not so. Death is the penalty of sin. That's what the Bible teaches us. And the imposition of the death penalty is the curse of God upon sinners. And ultimately, that death penalty will be carried out as men and women experience the awful wrath of God in hell. I was constrained to write back this to this young lady because she said in her note to me, I speak of heaven, if there be such a place. Or hell, if there be such a place. There are real places like this. And ultimately, the death penalty is exacted. And it is a terrible curse to be under. And Galatians says to us, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that Jesus Christ took upon himself that death penalty, that curse of God, that wrath of God, where he was constrained to cry on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And all of the mercy and the love and the care of God was absent from Jesus Christ as he was there on the cross. And so Christ's death brings us out from under the heavy curse leading to eternal death. He became a curse for us. So that we, through faith in Jesus Christ, need not suffer eternal death. Praise God that that is the case. And I say in the third point in our outline, Christ's death purchases for us the blessing of Abraham, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 3:14. Let's read verses 13 and 14 together. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In order that, why did Christ hang on that tree? In order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. That the blessing given to Abraham, the promises given to Abraham, might come to people like you and me. And what is that blessing? The latter part of verse 13 tells us, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. See, that's the blessing of Abraham. These are coordinate clauses in verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham and the bestowal of the Spirit are the same thing. God gives us this blessed gift of the Holy Spirit because of what Jesus Christ has done. In other words, Christ purchases for us the blessing of the Spirit. You know, I'm so thankful for that. We began our worship service this morning with a call to worship. Words of Jesus. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you shall find rest for your soul. You see, the rest comes when we really recognize the death of Jesus Christ and that purchase of the Holy Spirit for us. And we receive on the basis of the work of Jesus Christ that blessed gift of the Spirit. Peter says in his great sermon on the day of Pentecost, repent therefore and return, that your sins may be forgiven. And then he speaks of refreshment which will come from God. And you know what that refreshment is? It's the Holy Spirit coming and renewing our souls and cleansing our souls, giving us new life and imparting to us that blessed fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and meekness and self-control. And so what I'm at least trying to say is that the work of Jesus Christ on the cross purchases for us. I think this is what Galatians says. Purchases for us the blessed gift of the Holy Spirit. And when you recognize Jesus Christ as the one who paid the penalty due to you for your sins, you experience the Holy Spirit poured out in your heart. Let's go back to Romans 5. And I think this is exactly the connection that's given to us. So I say in the fourth point of the outline, to put it another way, receipt of the gift of the Holy Spirit is rooted in the work of Christ. Romans 5, verses 5 and 6. And when we looked at these verses, we did not cover this connection, but I think it's quite important. I want to read beginning from verse 1 in Romans 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. How do we receive the love of God? Intimately, personally, experientially, by the Holy Spirit. The love of God poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. And then the following verse says, for, why was the Holy Spirit poured out? For, the Apostle Paul says, for while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Why is it that we have the blessed privilege of the Spirit of God dwelling within our midst and dwelling within our very being? Because of what Jesus has done. That's why. That's the bottom line. And they go together. Inescapably. And I hope you do see that connection. And so, we get back finally to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The word demonstrates, as it's in the New American Standard Version, can be literally translated. God stands with us. You know, as Paul says in Romans 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? That's a rhetorical question. And the answer naturally is, no one. And this word demonstrates in the New American Standard Version can be translated stands with. And it's as though God is standing right next to you and He has His arm around you and He's supporting you and He's standing with you. Is that a demonstration of love or not? You know, it's a great thing. I'm sure many of you have experienced this. It's a great thing when I go home and I'm very tired and Irma comes to me and just hugs me. And we just stand there for a moment and embrace each other. That's a great thing. It really is. It's a demonstration of love. God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And God gets so close to humanity that He takes humanity on. You see, the second person of the Trinity comes into the world and takes to Himself a human nature just like yours and just like mine. He gets so close to us. It's as though he were just standing right next to us and putting his arm around us and saying, I am your God, and you are my people. You're mine, and I'm yours. I like that. God demonstrates his own love toward us. And you know, a demonstration is quite a bit different than a display. When you go to the county fair, there are some displays that are there. And it's amazing to me, I don't understand this, because every year the displays are the same and the same lines are in front of the displays. I don't quite understand that. But at any rate, you go, you look at the displays, and our kids used to get aggravated at me when we'd go to a museum and look at the displays, because I wanted to read all the tags at the bottom of the displays. Come on, Dad. And you're taking too long. But I wanted to do that. A demonstration is a little bit different than a display, isn't it? A demonstration is something that you are involved in. And you know this really well when you go to the car dealership. They don't just want you to look at the car, do they? They want to demonstrate it. They want you to get in it and smell the new and to feel the wheel and to, you know, close the door and to drive it. They want you to have a demonstration because it's very intimate. And this is what God is doing. It's not just a display that's out there. This is a demonstration of the love of God in which people like us are intimately involved, because God is not just out there portraying for us a love that he has, but he is demonstrating a love that he has for individuals like you and me. And he's saying to individuals like you and me, this is my love for you. Christ dying on the cross for you. And I think it comes home in a deeper way with the other translation that's given in some of the versions. By translating this word demonstrate, or demonstrates, God demonstrates his love, by translating it commend. God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I took a little bit of time to look up the word commend in the dictionary. And I found this very interesting definition of the word. Commend. To put in one's hands. To commit to one's charge. To put in the care of another. At the end of the book of Romans, Paul says to the church at Rome, I commend to you our sister Phoebe. And Paul is saying more about this woman than she's a nice woman and I'd like you to meet her. Paul is saying to the church at Rome, I am entrusting this woman to your care. I want you to take care of her. She is now part of your membership, and I want you to embrace her and to take care of her. Now, see if you can get this. Paul says in Romans chapter 5, but God commends his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He commends his love towards us. He entrusts us to his love. He entrusts us to his care. How does he do that? How do we sense in a very deep way that God actually has entrusted us to his love and to his care? I'll tell you how. It's by the Holy Spirit being poured out in our heart. By the love of God being poured out in our hearts. And when our hearts are warmed and changed so that we see Jesus Christ on that cross as the one who died and rose again. We say to ourselves, like the Apostle Paul said, He loved me and He gave Himself up for me. That's what this is about. That you would come to the place, and I would come to the place, that we'd be able to say that. And God is here this morning. I really think that's the case. God is here this morning because the Church of Jesus Christ is not just a social organization. This is not Monday noon Rotary. This is not Thursday evening Lions Club. This is the Church of Jesus Christ. This is the pillar and ground of the truth, the Bible says. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God is present. Jesus Christ is here, walking among the candlesticks. The Holy Spirit is at work. And God is in the process of demonstrating His love toward us, even now. And my prayer is that the Holy Spirit of God would so work in our hearts that we would not only see the objective work of Jesus Christ on the cross, but that our hearts would be warmed to the gospel, and we would say with the apostle, I see that Jesus now. And I know, He loved me, and He gave Himself up for me. That's what it's about. And it comes about when Christ purchases for us that work of the Spirit which is given to us. And that's part, dear friends, of the demonstration of God's love. Look at our text again. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. May God, in His mercy, deeply demonstrate His love toward each one of us. Amen.